The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord
Christ. Now, during those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. The Gospel of the Lord. If you were here in chapel on Friday, then you heard Jenna give a completely fabulous sermon, one part of which touched on the question of why does Jesus call the people that he calls to be his disciples, to be his apostles? It's a question that comes up again today, because here we hear this small passage where Jesus calls the disciples. No explanation for why. He spends all night in prayer, calls up his disciples, and chooses 12 of them. But how? Does that matter? Well, it kind of does when the list includes such people as Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Bad draw, huh? Right? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't want to open that particular can of theological worms to start asking questions like, if he became a traitor, maybe he wasn't when he got called. Because that just puts you in the hole of saying, well, maybe Jesus didn't know what was going to happen at the end. That can be an uncomfortable thought. But I think what's really uncomfortable about the calling of the disciples is what a terrible bunch of people they are. What a motley crew. Why didn't Jesus pick people who were smarter than Peter, less contentious than James and John, more faithful than Thomas, and way less likely to betray him to the authorities like Judas Iscariot? You know, people like us. Why didn't he pick us? It's a great question. But I think part of the answer comes from thinking differently about what it means to be called, what it means to be included in a group. See, it's been like this in the United States for hundreds of years, right? Alexis de Tocqueville writes about this in his book, Democracy in America. He says, the most amazing thing about America is our love of voluntary organizations, voluntary associations, right? We love this. They're, you know, clubs and fraternities and interest groups of every kind and description. We come together and join in common activities to do things that we share in common. Everybody who loves to play darts, come on down to the Crown and Anchor on Tuesday and play darts with us. But as with so much, the way Jesus does it is very different than the way our culture does it, especially contemporary American culture. I was struck by this recently because I was reading the rule of the Society of St. John the Evangelist. Those of you in my craft of ministry class, you read it too, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Recently. But maybe you weren't struck by the same part that I was. I loved the part in the chapter on community when the brothers say, the first task of living together in community is getting your mind around the fact that it is Jesus' right to call whomever he wills. Not your job to choose your community. That's not how it works in the kingdom of heaven. And it's not about who is worthy either. Paul talks about this in the lesson we heard from 1 Corinthians. He makes this long list of terrible, terrible people. Or, you know, in his own mind, terrible, terrible people. But then he says, but none of that matters anymore. Because now you're believers. You're part of this community. And anybody who wants to point a finger and say, but that person used to be an idolater. Used to be. Yeah. What did you used to be before Christ called you into community? Not as smart as Peter? More contentious than James and John? More likely to say something bad about Jesus even than Judas? Maybe. But thank goodness, we don't get to pick. We don't have to pick. We don't have to judge ourselves to be worthy, to be part of this community. We are made worthy by Christ's call and Christ's sacrifice for us. That's what makes this motley crew of disciples so powerful. I'll leave that a little bit ambiguous, whether I mean this motley crew or this motley crew of disciples. Right? Look around. This isn't necessarily the community you would have picked, but this is the group that Jesus picked to become his disciples, to be called his apostles, just as he did so many years ago on the mountain.